Now entering Nerdist.com.
Well, everybody, hi, and welcome to Sleepover at Todd's / Campfire. I like that music in the background. We broke the whole night up into different segments. Some of it is with Tommy Chong, some of it's by the fire pit, some of it's us all going to bed. This first segment is called Waiting for Rory, Jordan, and Blake. And there you go. Now, Katie just put microphones all over the place, so sometimes we forget we're doing a podcast and we all talk over each other, but just be patient with us. We don't do it that much, but we do it. We do it. And because it's some of it's outside and you can hear some microphone adjustments here and there, but just be patient. It was that type of show. I still like that music in the background. So here it is, segment one, Waiting for Rory, Jordan, and Blake. Here we are. So we're waiting for Rory and Jordan to get here. And then I always feel I say his name wrong. Tommy Chong, right?
Yeah.
Tommy Chong.
Which he has the same, somebody that knows him knows me, and he said we were camping out. He said that the Todd Glass Show is camping out for their 1 year anniversary. So he thought it would be fun to stop by. So he'll come by. Hopefully they'll have some good stuff, if you know what I mean.
Is this an anniversary show?
This is the 1 year anniversary show. No, we haven't started yet. This is just the little pre thing.
Oh, okay.
Getting people, you know, I don't know. I just feel we're in the moment. Eric's in the other room making a cup of coffee.
People probably can hear that we're not camping since Eric's rummaging through the refrigerator.
Yeah, can you make more noise in there?
Can you use more electronic appliances?
Yeah, yeah. Can you maybe you can pull out an old ticker tape machine?
Please.
Boop, boop, boop. Whatever that is. All right. Make sure you put that down. Make as much noise as you possibly can, Eric. So everyone, I think Chris just got high and ate a half a loaf of bread dipped in butter. I'm not joking around. I'm like, everybody, we have a show to do. So here's what happened.
I didn't get that high.
So first we were going to camp. I don't know if we should wait for Rory to talk. We were going to camp, and then here's what happened. Maybe I should wait for Rory to talk about all of this.
Well, no, this counts.
All right, you know what? That's what we'll do.
We don't need Rory to have fun. Talk about it right now.
Yeah, this Rory thinks he's got it. He thinks he's got us by the
God
balls.
God forbid he found out we waited for him to talk about it.
All right, so I guess this could be a little. We'll mark this. You done?
That's not my stuff. That was the sausages.
Oh Jesus! So we'll talk about it. We are gonna have a sleepover. It might be outside, depending on how hot it is. But I'm not gonna sweat my ass off. But if not, I moved all the furniture out of the living room. We'll take a picture. And we're going to get sleeping bags and sleep all over. Either way, we're either going to all sleep outside.
I think we should all sleep outside regardless and make and live the experience.
All right,
if it's hot as shit, then it'll be hot.
Yeah, for you.
Complain.
For you.
Yeah, Mikey was going
to... I won't enjoy myself. I like to go through life enjoying myself, proving nothing. I have nothing to prove except that I want to be comfortable. I don't get any bonus points by going, but you roughed it. No.
Well, what about all the content you're going to get out of being miserable and talking about it?
No, I'd rather not have it. That's what it takes to make this show a hit, then I don't want it.
If I have to be uncomfortable to be successful.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the experience of everybody sleeping in the same room. That's going to be the most fun part of this night is...
Does anyone snore?
I don't anymore, I've heard. I don't think I do anymore.
Can I tell the story about you snoring?
We'll tell that later. With you and Jimmy Dore?
Yeah.
In the hotel room? Yeah. Hold on. So this is going on way too long. This was supposed to just be a little intro. So now this segment was called Waiting for Rory and Jordan and Tommy Chong. Is there anybody else? Oh, Blake Wexler's not even here yet.
Is he coming?
Yeah. Sweet. All right. There we go. When you hear from us next, and the way we're going to do tonight is there's going to be segments. Like, this was a segment, and then when Rory gets here, we'll do a segment. Then we're going to move. Katie made it so we can move this recording stuff in a minute. Then we'll move it all out to the campfire later tonight. Then we'll make a decision. Are we all going to sleep outside, or are we going to sleep all over the living room and dining room? But to be continued. I know how to tease these motherfuckers, right? Turn that off. They didn't get that, did they?
Hey, everybody. You like that music in the background? Well, this is
part two. This part is called Rory, Jordan, and Blake Showed Up. So here we go.
All right, Rory's here. Now we're still in the living room. Maybe Mikey can take pictures. So here's what I did. I turned every light out in the house. It's pitch dark in here. I figured if we're starting inside, I know everyone's going, they're not even camping. We're not.
Not yet.
But we are, our goal is, as we talked about in the last segment, now Rory's here, is to end, we will end up by the campfire. That's our next move, outside by the campfire. By the way, tonight, talk about being, I don't think I'm crazy. My neighbors have big spotlights I noticed last night. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the backyard to be pitch dark tonight.
Yeah.
So they turned them off for me. So oh, that's when we nice. Go back out there, it'll be pitch dark. And then we're probably sleeping outside. We're sleeping outside. Slopping. And he'll take a picture of where we're all going to do it. I have like a four-car garage. They're more like barns. And two of them, I took everything out of. They're completely empty.
Yeah.
And we're going to just all... In camping, it's like a lean-to. That's like an open-end cabin. So that's the way I'm looking at it. And we'll just have air mattresses all over that thing. That's going to be my favorite part of the
podcast. You have air mattresses?
Well, some people do.
You think some? You think
that's the sound of Daniel room? Realizing how uncomfortable he's going to be tonight. You have air mattresses?
Wait.
Yes, everyone.
You guys brought an air mattress?
Yeah. So did Eric. So did you bring one? I have some other stuff for people that don't have it.
Eric, you have a queen?
We could fit three.
What's listen to
three.
This?
That's too ambitious.
Do you hear that? Wait, someone's here. No, you can open that up.
Who is it? The door? Oh, Blake. Oh,
that's the brother Philip.
Yeah, well, of course. Wait a second. Like, hold on.
Daniel, you didn't expect anyone to bring... We brought a lot of shit.
Wait, Daniel.
An air mattress.
Hold on.
The kicker and an air mattress.
Guys, we can still... Guys, we can still only one... We got to try to have one person talk. You know what that sounded like to the listener? It sounded exactly like this. Okay, so let's not do that to them again. Now I swear to God,
if that's going to happen.
Thank God we have a safe word. I swear to God, we're not. Tell the listening audience, are we playing that?
No.
You swear to God?
I swear to God.
Todd, I'm kind of scared.
Do you live near a train tracks? What is that?
And Michael Vick.
You live near Michael Vick?
Do we live near train tracks?
Yeah. Do you live near train tracks?
We do if Chris has train track noise. but that's funny because we thought about getting train track noise. Did you know that?
Oh, no. I just heard it in the back of that. It just sounded like a train in the distance.
Rory, how funny would that be, you know, what we were just joking about? Hey, if that's a crime, then lock me up. What if you said that about an actual crime?
Hey, if
you get arrested.
If murdering 30 people is a crime, then I don't want to.
Lock me up. We're going to.
You know what? If getting a little. If the guy behind me at the gym was annoying me, if taking a gun out and shooting him in the head is a crime, well then lock me up.
Your lawyer is like, shut Todd, shut the fuck up.
No.
I want to testify. No, you don't.
No, you don't. You don't know what crimes are.
Let me tell
are.
You something. If breaking into a store and taking every red cent they have is robbing them, then I rob stores.
Then I don't want freedom.
Then I don't want freedom.
So is that a confession? You did.
I'm
do
just
it?
Saying, if breaking in that guy's store and taking everything he had is wrong, then I don't want to be right.
Oh my God.
It's off to a good start, people. This is off to a good start. So let's go back to calmly and deal with what happened. So now we know where we're at. Everybody knows. I don't got to repeat it. So Blake comes in. In all fairness, now Daniel, we're going to tease you. I want to know.
I know what's
and everybody's told they're sleeping over. Now I'm not making fun of you for not bringing anything because
I brought a sleeping bag.
But I can throw you a pillow. There's some mattresses outside in the thing. The outdoor mattresses. You have something.
Yes.
So you're covered. But what I think's funny is that when Blake is it Wexler?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. When Blake Wexler came in with his sleeping bag and a pillow, you went, "You brought a pillow?"
Yes.
You think that's odd?
I thought, yes, I don't think it's odd that he brought a pillow, but the image of Blake just walking in there holding the pillow and the.
But that's the best image in the world, and I know you know that.
Yeah, but it wasn't like. Yeah, I guess I was making fun of him.
Yeah, you literally did the little kid thing and you pointed. You went, ah! Stiff arm out, finger out. Does everyone listening know? Stiff arm, stiff finger, and you're going and pointing at the person.
I hope you had your finger out. It's weird if you were like, you have a pillow.
He's holding a fist up. He's holding a fist up. Imagine if you looked at someone and went, what are you doing here with a fist?
Blake immediately feels threatened. Like,
wait a second. I think that's called Nazi Germany, isn't it? No, mark that down. But if someone doesn't know, I'm kidding about that.
But you know my whole thing about like people... It drives me nuts. Like when I see people bringing pillows on airplanes.
But let's not merge the two together.
Image was very close. It's just Blake holding my stuff.
Okay,
and
I get it. But you do get it. That's funny.
Yes, of course.
Can I intervene and defend Daniel?
It's not intervening.
As your lawyer.
Can I say something? It's not intervening. It's outer-veening.
Hey, if you're making fun of people who are prudent and make good decisions is being an asshole, then I don't want to be a nice guy.
No, Daniel, you are an asshole.
Go ahead, defending
Daniel. I think what happened there was just quick visual memory of the people with a pillow on a plane. It is hard to remember that we are adults who are about to camp out tonight. So I'm sure Daniel's immediate reaction is like, why the fuck did I have a pillow? Even his head was like, oh yeah, you're camping.
You know what? I get it. Hey, if not getting it makes me. All right, let me get. I am going to do a little traditional thing here. Which I didn't think I was going to do, even though I had prepared.
Through some stuff?
Mike, are you getting some good pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got some stuff. We'll talk about it from a winery, but I'll talk about it on the opening of the show. But they sent us a really nice letter.
It's a train.
That's not a train.
Chris, if you have to tell us what it is, it's probably not that
Here's
great.
Here's Chris. The guy plays sound effects, and he looks at me. It's a train. It's like the bad sound effects guy. He goes, and then I open the... It's a car door. People don't know his sound effects anymore, so every time he does something, and all in the background is hee-haw, 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 the old-timey horn.
Michael Winslow, like his career now is just...
All right, I don't know why I'm yelling. So let me go through a few things. Josh Trey, we are still going to do your bit. That's the bit on the Home Shoppers bit. We've told him 9 times we're going to do it. Maybe it's like our Jimmy Kimmel...
We never get to it, Matt Damon.
We never get to Matt Damon thing, accidentally. Lincoln listens to the show. He's driving his black Subaru, about ready to head down La Cienega Boulevard. Shut the fuck up. How do I know that, Lincoln? That's right, motherfucker. That will happen. What do you think? If you were driving your car...
I don't know what we're talking about.
There's a guy, Lincoln, who listens to the show, and he drives a black Subaru, and his girlfriend said, if you said something, he would shit in his pants.
If we mentioned him?
Well, not just mention him, but say you're on the Subaru, you're driving down the street, you're about ready to turn to La Cienega, because the odds are that he'll be... This isn't going anywhere.
No, wait, you... I think you just got to explain it better.
I told her I would mention her boyfriend.
And she said he'll shit himself when that happens?
Well, yeah, now I feel bad like putting it like that, like it's holding the show in such high regard.
No, I kinda,
if we mentioned someone, they'd crash!
But I'm picturing that he has a problem where he literally does shit. He doesn't want you to say his name. She's getting him back for something.
Oh.
Yeah, say his name like 7 times. He's just in the car. Oh, God,
She knows.
I'm shitting myself.
Honey, Douglas fucked me.
You told him to say that. Oh, God.
Lincoln, stop shitting.
Lincoln, stop shitting.
All right, listen, there's that. Ian, how do you say that last name? Quickly, let's rip through this stuff, because it's the only part of the show that's going to be normal.
Carolyn?
There you go. I don't know what more you want from me. You seem nice, though. my old house. On the
internet.
He could have been right. That's why I'm laughing. Like, he'd give it a shot.
You're probably right.
No, you're not right. But you know.
Relax. You're not right.
All right, so on Scott's show, Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I used to live out of nowhere. I just thought of it. I used to live on 1295 Joan Drive. Someone's got to live in there. It's like the Southampton area. Go take a picture and tweet it. Shut the fuck up. I got a tweet. There's my house. It was weird. Like, I was panning in and getting it bigger and looking at stuff. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, that's a tree me and my dad planted. That sounds so cliche, but like,
that is weird.
That's weird, right?
No, I think that's, but to be able to have someone went and did it and sent it to you. And then you can sit there and look at
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could
and
do
I appreciated
that
whoever did it. I really
can't
did.
You do that with Google Maps?
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to take away from your moment.
Not a picture like that. Not a picture like they got.
Yeah, I agree.
You get that. You get an overhead. This guy took like three or four pictures.
No, no, Google Maps, you can go street view. You can look dead
not
on.
Not what I heard. We'll talk about it later.
No, Google Maps, you can actually go back and... No, with Google Maps, they have a new feature. You can go back and it shows you in the past and you can actually interview yourself. But if you want them to tweet it...
That's cool, too.
That's cool, too, that they did.
I like
can,
that,
can
too.
Can I throw something out to the listeners? I'm just always curious, like, how many listeners are foreign, like, listening from different countries?
We get emails from people that are.
Oh, really?
Oh, of course.
From just, you know...
Sweden.
That's not... But I guess
Italian.
Oh, really?
Italian.
Italy?
Italian.
The guy that doesn't know. Well.
Hey, just throw us some emails. Yes. Let us know what country you're from. Maybe we'll go... Maybe we'll travel and do a live show somewhere and eat and, you know...
Right.
I'm always just
I like any. Did you say we'll go travel and do a show somewhere and eat?
We could. I said need, but we could eat.
Oh, okay. So anyway, yeah. So,
Dr. Seuss episode.
So the old house. Thank you, Irvine this Sunday. So that's like 2 days from now. Irvine this Sunday. Then I'll be at the Nut Street. I very rarely put
I'll
dates.
Be there with you at Irvine.
Yes, tomorrow night. Me and Daniel. Maybe the whole some of the everybody will come down and we'll all hang out. So Nut Street Comedy Club, September 7th and 8th. Nut Street Comedy Club.
Yeah, that's a great club. Have you played there?
No, but I've heard great things
Where's
about
this?
It.
Where is this?
Genuinely.
It's great. If you are in that area, you should go support that club.
Where is this?
Hey, today I'm Mark Maron. I want to plug Mark Maron.
Delaware?
North Carolina.
Wilmington, North Carolina. What do you think of an airfare? Today I found out what an airfare was to go there.
Round trip or one way?
A round trip.
Wait. 2 weeks ahead of time?
Yeah.
You have plenty of time?
Yeah.
Nonstop or you have a layover?
There has to be a layover.
280 each way.
Each way?
Who, 560.
What are you trying to trick me?
560. I'm aggressive prices right.
I'm going to go 420.
420?
I'm going to go 560.
Okay, I thought exactly what you guys just thought.
A million!
No, right...
Jordan.
Right in that range.
I don't know, maybe it's like 100,000.
Jordan.
All right, Jordan. She bet with money, Rory.
She doesn't know money.
How much was it?
So, $750.
What the fuck?
I know. He goes, I don't know what's going on in wherever you're going. All right, so there we go. Hey,
you are still using... By the way, I'm making fun of you, even though I know the reasons, and it's always worked out the same.
I use a travel agent.
But you do use a travel agent, yes. It's basically Todd pays a guy to book flights for him on Orbitz.
You know what? It's
Can
worth
I tell
it.
You what?
It's worth it. He makes his own money. Let me tell you something. There are people out there that know what I'm talking about. For every time he charges me $50...
Let me in on this.
Okay, I will let you in on it.
For a month, let me be your travel agent. I guarantee you, I get you the cheapest prices. I'm obsessed with it. I do it for myself.
I like what you're saying. I think
your travel agent's a listener?
No.
You don't want him to find out this way?
No. I think that you don't understand. Like, even if you weren't busy, like if you sat at a desk all day when I needed to know something, let's say hypothetically you did.
Yep.
You might be able to, but it's mixed with a comfortability. And I think he earns his own money. Every so often I need to connect these weird cities, and it's just to call him up. I still defend it. It is, sometimes it's totally worth it. I get it. I could go online and do it. But you know what? I call him. He never complains. I go, let's switch this. I do this. I move that. He goes, that's all right. I always feel like he earns his fucking money.
I would put you on Delta. You would have
He's
so
just
many
had a baby.
Sky miles.
He just had a baby. Woo! He needs the money.
Big deal. I'm trying to get married.
Is this how...
Listeners, I'm trying to get married, so we are going to actually start a donation thing for my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it on Kickstarter because you have to be a legit art project, but we're just going to do a PayPal.
Wait, it's a great idea. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We're going to try to get $5,000 on PayPal. We're not going to get it.
You know what? I'm all for supporting you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Rory, I can't even get these cheap motherfuckers to follow me. All the listeners. You're hoping that everyone's going to chip in?
Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to get the listeners start. If you send him, Rory, a dollar, let alone 10, Daniel will just be furious. On one angle, he'll be so happy because he wants you guys to have a wedding, and he is an emotionally evolved. Emotionally evolved person, and he will be able to be happy for you if you can. We actually made $4,500. He'll be able to be excited for you. But also, listeners, you should know this, and I hope this doesn't make you do anything you shouldn't do. He will also be steaming if the money just starts rolling, and he's going to be like those. He'll say it affectionately.
They will put a check in the mail, but no one will fucking follow me on Twitter.
I think
he is, folks. You're gonna get him so mad if you do this.
It just so everyone knows, the campaign is going to be called Fuck Daniel Keno, Help Us Get Married.
That's the name of it. And by the way, in all fairness, we settled on that today, me, Jordan, and Rory. We had a meeting. I said, don't make it mean-spirited.
Oh.
But just that's the name one you can F-word. One F-word will be fine.
All right, listen, we're almost there. No, 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 no. In the Woods show, no sound effects.
You said this was the beginning part. And it was the
only no, no, it's all... It's all like the other. It did. But not even here. Not even here. But it's all good.
Cool.
Remember what I said in the beginning? I'd always rather you do something.
Yeah, well, that's why I did it.
Yeah, good. No, I'm serious. Like, I'm not joking. I go home and I listen to the show and I see stuff that he dropped in. Sometimes we're in such the heat of the moment, I don't realize it. It's funny.
Heat of the moment.
It's funny. So you know what?
No, it's okay.
It's all right. Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
I thought about something totally serious. I saw her in I Am Comic 2 years ago, and she was, you know,
sharp.
With it.
Very
like
funny.
That sounds so cliche, but like
she was a great part of that movie. And she was very funny.
Mm-hmm, and yeah. Also, I think, you know, I think she knows. I hope she knows a lot of comedians. Like I knew, like as she got older, she stood the test of time, and she was part of, you know, she should have been a respected comedian. She was. I'm just saying she should have been by a lot of comedians. And I was glad when, like, I asked, like, my peers, like, they'd be like, oh, no, you respect Phyllis Diller. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, legendary, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally think.
Right.
On the Mount Rushmore of comedy, for sure, right?
Yes.
I think most people think that, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
These are going to be little segments throughout the night. Fun. I'm very excited. I really am, actually.
I'm very
excited. This is going to... You don't understand how much food that I have. We have s'mores.
I'm so excited.
I went... Blake, first of all, let me tell you who's here. Irk is here.
Irk.
Can we get that piece of paper over there?
So I can remember everyone's names?
No. No, this is separate. I know everybody's name.
I know.
Irk is here. Irk. Jordan is here with her sleeping bag and pillows. Blake Wexler is here. Mikey LaRue is here. Everybody, you know,
Mikey's
we don't do
back,
this that
everybody.
Often, but
welcome back, Mikey.
Chris Burden's here.
Hey.
Chris Burden's here. Rory's here. Katie is here. Daniel Keno's here.
Can I just say something? I remember the day when we were doing the podcast and Todd said there would be a camping episode. For all you listeners, just know, Todd is a man of his word.
Thank
he delivers. He doesn't
you.
Say he's doing it tomorrow, but he does it within a year and a half.
And can I say something about Rory?
And he'll just do it at his house and not in the woods.
Yeah, I know. Can I say something about Rory? He's a man of his word. Because 2 o'clock today, I called him and asked him if he could give me a little ribbing about the time it took me to go camping. And ended off with a nice little joke. And you know what? He came through with it. Thank you. I don't know why I wanted it. I felt it would just make me feel better. And thank you. I didn't know if you were going to do it. I didn't know if you were going to do it.
Every insult that I could just pull that and go, and I want to thank Todd.
And let me tell you, like you give me the, what if you're on a... I don't know if that would work on a roast. So anyway, it's going to be great. Also, the food. What I did tonight. By the way, I don't cook. You know, I don't do anything. But I like to invent things from things that are already made. So I've done this before. But I took a chocolate. You know those ring cakes at Vaughn's?
Everyone pay attention to this.
They're chocolate ring cakes. Yeah, they're like... They're just moist and
Vaughn's.
They're cinnamony.
I thought you were doing well.
Listen, for that, mark that down, Casey.
Yeah, no, seriously, do it for me. I don't want that out there.
Guys, come on, come on. So I sliced the chocolate cake in half, and then I took mint chocolate chip ice cream, and I put it in, and then you put the ring back on top. When I say cut it in half.
Back in the freezer.
Back in the freezer. Then I bought an apple pie. I don't know why I got this idea. Then I bought some custard. It's a little creamier, and I smeared it all over the top of the apple pie and froze it. It's going to be like apple pie with cut. What do you have a correction?
No, I'm asking you, not a correction,
yes.
A question. Because you have to put it in the freezer because of the ice cream.
Yes. Well, you could put it on right before you ate it, but it's good when everything's frozen.
And then, well, when we take the pie out,
you don't just
we
like
have
an
to
ice
thaw
cream.
It out?
No, just like an ice cream cake. You just take it out for 5 minutes.
Oh,
man.
I'm excited.
Anyway, so I did that, and then I got the stuff for s'mores. One time when I was camping, this leads to something else. I got ready. I was camping and I went into the little general store to buy some chocolate bars for the s'mores. And this little kid goes, "Did you ever try putting Reese's cups in there?" And I went, "I will tonight." And we did, and it was, oh, Jesus Christ. the marshmallow and a Reese's cup.
Yeah.
With the and I got the graham crackers that are, what are they on the outside? Cinnamon sugar on the outside. So it's going to be good tonight. And then I made like 20 grilled cheese sandwiches.
And just so everyone knows, yes. Jordan also made peanut butter chocolate chip cookies. And isn't that right, babe?
Yeah, I made peanut butter cookies! And damn it!
You know, that's a sweet gesture, but it's very hard to enjoy.
Yeah, it's hard to. But can I tell you something, Jordan?
Yeah!
Those chocolate chip cookies, they were delicious. I ate three of them so far. They were so good. I'm not even lying. There's something wrong with her.
Yeah, Rory, is she okay?
She doesn't hear me.
She just gets excited.
Is there something wrong with her?
You know, she gets excited. And that's, I mean, everyone else, we genuinely contain our excitement. You're talking about a spirit that is free to live.
You know what? Good for her. Maybe we're the ones that need to learn from her.
Thank you.
Chicken salad.
No, thank you.
Hamburger. Chicken salad. No, it's not chicken salad. It's a hamburger. Hamburger. Chicken salad.
I can be the chicken salad.
Chicken salad.
Chicken salad.
Salad.
Yeah, it's got to be like bowling. It's like a bowling ball about to hit the pin.
Can you try it, Blake?
Blake,
what would you do if you were doing it? Chick. Oh my God, I'm having a good time. This is what this show should be. Okay, listen. Can I have a flashlight?
It just never.
Can I have a flashlight? That's...
I unscrewed all the bulbs. There's not a light on in this house. The only light we have is from that candle. I unscrewed the freezer bulbs, the refrigerator bulbs.
Yeah.
Everything.
You unscrewed the bulbs in the fridge.
Swear to God. You want me to go show you?
No.
Try to flip that switch.
Okay.
I believe
Here we go. So this is to everyone at the Todd Glass Show. Todd, Daniel, Katie, Lynn, Chris, Rory, Jordan, Andrew, Sensitive, who... Oh, we're so sad he couldn't be here tonight. He got hit by a train, folks.
Oh.
And what are you going to do, right? All right, there you go.
Did you hear that?
What did Chris say?
He said the train's in the shop.
That's his friend, Chris Burden. Write him letters. Well, talk to him when you see him at night. They live in the same apartment, house, whatever you, I don't know where you live. I imagine.
Apartment, you know, I went over
okay,
there.
Okay, listen, that's Andrew nice. Sensitive, I know. Andrew Sensitive, Sandra Van Garden / Preston, Eric, Mikey, thanks for all the great visuals, and Blake. Thanks for all the shows, the serious ones, the silly ones, make them longer. Everyone here at the Brown County Winery. There
Blake,
you go.
You need to get that winery. That's nice. What was that? The Brown?
Yeah, let's get the name.
And they're
going to
supply all the wet wine for your wedding. Already.
The Brown County Winery. I just want you guys to know, as a winery, we're going to be getting married next year.
They're going
to
supply all the
Daniel Kino campaign.
Yes. Well, hey, by the way, if they don't supply all the wine, it'll be fuck Brown County Winery.
Right. Yeah.
What
yeah.
is that?
I think it was a phone. I think it fell.
Okay. There we go.
But that is very nice of them. And
yes.
Can we give them? Do they have a website or something?
No. I sent them a bottle of wine. And if you must know, yes. Hey, by the
wine.
Way, today I heard we got to take a break here in a second.
Can
and
I
then,
tell a funny story about wine? I'll keep it to 1 minute.
You know what? You can. Yeah, but
all
I
right,
don't want to forget
it to 10. I went to a friend's party. I was going as a friend of a friend. He just said, "Oh, a guy I went to college with. He's having a big party. We're in D.C. He's having a bunch of people over." We were like, "Yeah, let's go. We're not doing anything." I was super high. So my friends were just laughing at they because they didn't smoke pot. They thought it was crazy. That was high. But they just grabbed a quick Trader Joe's bottle of wine, something very, it was like $4. We go to the party, and the guy greets us, and we go, "Hey, thanks for letting us come over. You know, here's a bottle of wine. We're just being nice." And the guy looks at it, he's like, "Oh, thanks, great. Well, come on in. Let me show you around." We go downstairs. He has a full-on wine cellar with, like, a tasting table, a whole cellar. And everybody was like, "We just brought a guy that has a wine cellar a $4 bottle of, like, Cabernet."
Is it like if you didn't know who's the great comic? Who's a great comic, like, that everybody respects?
Seinfeld?
It would be like if you went over his house, and for whatever reason, let's say you're 75, you're just not aware of him, whatever
the reason is,
and you go into his house, but you're not aware, who wouldn't be aware of
right,
Terry? But
right,
for this
right.
bit, not even a bit, this could happen.
Are you about to name another comedian that's bad?
Well, I was going to get up to that point and let people fill in the blanks.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be like if you walked into his house and you went, "Here, we love comedy, we thought you would enjoy this," and you give him a CD of... No,
oh,
we can't.
No,
we
gotta
cut that out. Yeah, it's all right.
You're making Katie work.
Yeah. It's all right. I don't want to. You wouldn't want to be told saying that, right? I could leave it in. It's $100 to get it taken out. Is that all in? Is that all in? That was all in.
Yeah.
So people know. Well, you're never going to know who it was, but I'm all fairness, I left it in at least.
Oh, you left all the explaining.
I left all the explaining. Blake Wexler yells at a comedian's name. I edited it out. I made $100. Or you'd be hearing it.
Yeah.
So I made $100. I'll let you go. You know what? Consider it your birthday present.
Thank you. BrownCountyWinery.com.
There you go.
Brown County.
You work
Winery.
For them?
BrownCountyWinery.com.
Yeah. It's a very, I know you already said
hey,
thank you,
but if I just may reiterate one more time, that's a very nice gesture. I mean, you know, they really. It's a nice gesture,
but they should have sent more, right?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying.
No. I was saying.
I bet there's other listeners that have companies.
Yes, what I was getting at, if there's other listeners who work at a place that has products. That they enjoy the show, they should be sending them here. Well, they think they would. Like the BrownCountyWinery.com.
Yeah. Okay. So listen. So there. Here's what we're gonna talk about. But guess what? I have two filthy, dirty blankets. So Daniel, I'll give you one because we know you don't care.
I brought my own dirty blanket.
Yeah. And then I brought. I know you don't care since the remote control. I know you don't give a. You don't wipe your remote control down. So I gave you a pillow with dog shit on it.
Can I tell you a really quick story? One time, I was in Tempe. I think you were there with me, and I was there with you. Doesn't matter. And Alex,
I think you were right the second time.
And Alex Murray,
my manager, your manager.
and he walks into the condo where I was staying, and he goes to turn off the TV, and he takes a napkin and he uses it to cover the remote and turn off the TV, and I was like, Alex, he's like, this thing's filthy. I go, I'm staying here. Do you, like, realize that, like, I'm your friend, I'm your client? How do you think I feel? Like, I'm some sort of a fucking animal that you came to visit in a cage.
Like if that's how they approach crime scenes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So, well, you learned something about Alex. Drop him. Okay, so you left all that in before?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go. Let's take a break. And you got pictures of this in here. Rory's trying to blow the candles out.
I'm going to have some water.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
In the middle of the woods. So there we go. So that's what we'll do. We'll take a break right now. Who is that? Oh, hey, Ralph. All right, take a break. Well, I know. I don't want to say take a break like that. Are we still on?
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't a take a break type of a show. It's more of a chill out show. I got to change the vibe.
Yeah.
We're going to go to another time and another place.
We'll see you in the future.
We'll see you in the future. And that's not a lie.
This, by the way, might be the only show we've ever done where we actually take breaks.
This is also the only podcast that's ever done a sleepover camping episode.
Well, these other podcasts are shitting in their pants.
Yeah, I mean, this is heavy stuff.
You notice they all have openings now? They have openings. No, like musical produced.
And they're
taking breaks. Nobody fucking took breaks before I took breaks.
True. Thank you.
It's true. Am I crazy? Am I crazy?
Seeing you so crazy.
Oh, my God. Wait, you guys have to tell me I'm not crazy.
No, you're not.
Am I crazy?
No.
So, oh, my God, I'd knife every fucking one of you dead. Am I crazy?
It's a very sane thing to say.
I'm not crazy.
We're having fun.
All right. As long as I'm not crazy. Crazy.
Well, stabbing everybody in this room just to prove a point is crazy, then I don't want to be sane.
Thank you. We're going to see you in the future.
Alrighty. So here we go. Part 3 of Sleeping Over Todd / Campfire. Now, we're back at the campfire now, and Tommy Chong showed up. I should say that when I grew up, I used to listen to Cheech and Chong, and it was really cool to hang out with him for the night. He was gracious with his stories and gracious with his laughter. He fit right in. It was great. And we're also going to release... We talked a lot more than we're playing here, so later we're going to release some other segments when we were sitting around talking to him. But we put some isolated segments in this night. So we're going to go, I like that music in the background. We're going to fade right into mid-sentence. Somehow we got on the topic of talking about a comedian that I used to really like, Jimmy Tingle, and Tommy asked if we knew who he was, and we just start talking about him. So we're going to go right in mid-sentence here. I really like that music in the background. There we go. Katie, just fade right into us talking about Jimmy Tingle. Oh, there you go.
Do you guys know Jimmy Tingle?
Yes.
Yeah, I love Jimmy Tingle.
Me too.
He's great.
I just saw him last year at a film festival. And I saw his little tape. Did you see his tape?
No.
Yeah, he did a great tape.
That's funny to hear his name, because I always really liked him. And I also used to use as an example is he would have like a social joke, but he'd make it like in a very funny way where it was funnier than it was preachy all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know what he did, don't you? He went back to Harvard.
And he
was the commencement speaker.
I saw that speech. That was
and
great.
What's her name? Meryl Streep was there, and a bunch of other actors.
He was smart.
But it was Jimmy Tingle. He got up and did the speech in front of all the Harvard people, and it was funny. It was funny. Great.
You know how I knew he was smart? Seriously, because he liked me. I figured a guy has to get it.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
No, that's taste.
It's the
Aikens diet. Right?
But yeah, like, I saw that commencement speech, and he didn't try to go up to like their level. He just
stated
his. He stated his, and everyone came to him. He basically looked like he was just doing his act at the Kowloon.
He was.
It was great.
Funny guy. I love that attitude. Yeah, that.
That's a good college show.
There was another like a really big political comic
who
in
had
Boston.
Attitude?
No, it's a good college show when you get to do the commencement speech at Harvard.
Yeah, that's one of the better jobs to be gotten at NACA.
who am I talking about? There's like a really big political guy in Boston.
Oh, can I say something else about Jimmy Tingle?
Yeah, what?
Well, first of all, I'm managing him. What if that means? Oh, no wonder I can't mention him. I'm not saying this is one of the jokes he wants to be remembered for, but I liked it because it was like defending the post office. And so he goes, you know about what the price is. And I'm not going to do the joke as good as he did it, but he goes, people always go, oh, can you believe stamps went up to 30 cents? Can you believe it? Can you believe they went up? I'm going to bastardize this joke, but I'll do it good enough. He goes, you really? They send a guy over to your house. Walks around the neighborhood, he gets out of the thing, gets it, puts it in a bag, then he walks around all day with it, then he goes back to the main station, they sort it out, and then they put it in a truck, then that truck drives over to the airport, and if necessary, they put it on the plane, they put it on the plane, they take it off the plane, then it lands somewhere else, they put it in a truck, that truck brings it to a local place, and then they take it out of that truck into littler trucks, and then they deliver it to your house. Yeah, I'll pay 30 cents.
He's great, man.
I realized I was watching.
He did that joke on Carson, and it was the only time he was on Carson, and it's in his thing. He did a joke about George Bush, Ronald Reagan, and the Contras, and they're in Congress, and Poindexter and Reagan were testifying. And they couldn't remember anything. They couldn't remember. and Tingle said, "Listen,
oh right.
Yeah, if you're going to sell arms for hostages and for drugs, he says, jot it down."
Oh, that was the other one that I loved too. Don't you think you jot it down? He has that accent that makes it that much funny. And he took his hand and he went like a little, you know, made pretend he was writing with a pen.
But he did
jot
that. He did that grief buildup. I mean, the biggest you can be, but just jot it down. Incredible. I heard that joke first time I heard it was on when I saw his tape, and I said, this guy is a genius, man.
It's killing me. I can't come up with the name. There's another guy. I think he was right. He was pre Jimmy Tingle in Boston, and he had that great joke.
Is he a comic
Pringles.
In Boston?
Jimmy Pringles. Boston. He had
I'm gonna stick with that one. Jimmy Pringles for our listeners that didn't hear my brilliant comedy joke.
Now it's really killing me.
What's really killing you?
I can't remember his name.
I thought my act.
No.
Or are you doing all right over there?
I'm good.
Roy, you look nice.
Hey, Roy, I feel so relaxed. This is so relaxing.
I feel so relaxed.
Being next to a fire, it's always so relaxing.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I like this. Weather's perfect.
Maybe I should get this fire going.
Of course, the genic is that oil smoke coming in.
Oh, my God, it's burning my legs.
Careful, there's a bunch of wires.
Watch it there, little lady.
So where do you guys work? Improvs and...
Improvs and...
Funny Bones and
Funny Bones
restaurants with
parties.
You know what? I don't. Don't pull me into your shitty clubs.
You don't do privates anymore?
No, I know. I can't make it.
Tom, do you still do a private? Like a birthday party? Will you do a birthday party? Why, did you just get one or something?
No.
Would you do, like, if somebody called in, like...
He's talking about, like, you know, one of those weird things. Like I'll give you, you know, whatever the grandage is. And then,
for everybody listening, Todd is fixing up the fire.
You don't have a price anymore. You're not standing in the living room at some rich guy's house.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to all...
Don't burn the plastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm
That's
sorry.
Very carcinogenic.
You know what? I knew not to do that.
You know, I got cancer. You know, I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
You know, I bring it up now and then, but... No, you invited over to witness...
For everyone listening, well, Todd tried to burn plastic.
When did you... You did just learn that you had cancer, right?
I learned about a month ago. Yeah, no. Actually, 3 months ago now. Yeah. It was actually a relief.
Why?
Because the doctors kept sticking their fingers up my ass. I had 3 or 4 different doctors. Oh, so when they found out, I said, oh, thank God. No.
Thank God it's over.
Now take it out. Take out the fingers. Huh?
Is it prostate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the good...
Well, the good news...
It's good cancer.
You'll probably die from something else before you die from this.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. That made me feel good.
Yeah, who's that? Dr. Vinny Boombots? Rodney Dangerfield's doctor?
Vinny Boombots!
No, Cantor's used to be the big hangout for all the comics.
Right.
And now they hang out at the Farmer's Market.
Have you been down there?
It's like old folks.
I've seen them in there.
And they all hang around and they tell each other jokes and they don't laugh, they just go, funny. That's funny.
That's funny.
What year did you start?
I started 70, well, 69, actually.
So who were your 1969. Contemporaries? Like, who was around? Who were you, like,
hitting? Well, I was a musician way before I was a comedian. And so, but I loved, I knew a lot of guys. I knew Red Fox, and I got to know Richard
Pryor. We have to find out. Is that story true about Red Fox? Tell
the
story.
You know, that old joke, is that... You know, bum, bum, piano. Do you know that joke?
Oh, and when he's walking out the...
Yeah, when he goes, fuck you, five
that's
people.
That's a real thing?
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's Fox.
I'm not playing for 20 motherfucking people.
Yeah.
I always wonder if everybody gets the same enjoyment out of that joke for the same reason. Like, for me, that joke makes me laugh. It has nothing to do with Red Fox. It has to do with how they place works like clockwork.
Yeah.
And when that band's told bum, bum, bana, they don't give a shit.
It's like, what happens.
When he says goodnight, they heard good night. Bum, 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 bano. Is that why everybody thinks that's funny?
I visited him when...
That's why I think it's funny.
Okay.
He was working. Fox is funny. He used to have a two-prong Coke spoon. You know, how everybody has one?
Uh-huh.
He had a two-pronger. He'd dip it in with two. He'd do it with two. And he'd sit outside his dressing room. He never sat inside his dressing room. He'd just sit outside like the bouncer,
uh-huh.
You know, and sit out there with his Coke and his drink and the whole court with whoever walked by. Funny
Isn't
guy.
Isn't that funny, like, how we think of Red Fox? Like, no, I don't know him. He's kind of like Rodney. Like, we know him as, in that age, in that element.
Well, I was Sanford and Son.
Yes.
But he was probably the single most incredible stand-up comic I'd ever seen in my life.
Really? Live, he was that
good? I seen him do 2 hours. The first hour, he brought the people up so hard, you're literally pissing your pants. You're laughing that hard. And then he brought them down. He brought them down so far that they were running out of the club. They were so insulted, they're leaving the club. And he went to the front, to the door, and opened the door, and thanks for coming, evening, have a good trip. And then he closed the door and went back on stage and brought him up for the last half, another hour, he brought him right back up. I mean, he could do anything with it.
Was he doing that consciously? Like, he was trying to see how much
totally.
He could get away with?
No, he wasn't trying. That's how good he was. And you know how we, you know, comics, we have to have our little alone time before we go on, you know, get our shit together, you know. Fox never. Fox would be sitting at the bar talking with someone and have a drink, and they'd introduce him, and he'd say, yeah, okay, see you later, and put the drink down, walk on stage. and just kill. Just kill.
Did he have like material? Like, did he have notebooks? Huh? Did he have notebooks with jokes?
No.
Did he ever sit down and write during the day, or was it just all raw?
Fox? Never.
Can I tell you why I love that story? First of all, always love Red Fox. Now, I know this is just a coincidence, so I'm not trying to take too much credit here. But
you do?
No, people always ask me, they go, how can you eat a sandwich and walk out on stage? I go, I just can't. I go, not if I'm nervous, but I'm not nervous when I'm performing. If I'm doing a corporate, I can't eat for a week. But in a comedy club, I could. So that makes me happy that Red Fox could eat and then or take a drink.
Yeah. But he, you know, off stage, he was very quiet. I hung with him. I had an after-hours club.
See, like me.
I had an after-hours club in Vancouver. And everybody would hang out. You know, it was mostly Motown people. It was a black club. And Fox came down to hang out. And he was very quiet, hardly said a word. But when he did, it was funny, you know. Like he was sitting with Barbara McNair, you know, the actress, singer? She was an actress. Anyway, she was there. And she's quite classic, you know. And Fox just said, can I get you anything? Some head? just so smooth.
Who through your years of in the business, was he the funniest person you've ever met? Like in real life, who was the funniest person?
Fox made me laugh so hard I hurt myself. I mean, I literally fell out of a chair. And then then there was a group called the Committee that used to work here. They were really, really, really funny. In fact, Cheech and I stole a lot of their material. That's how we got our act. Richard Pryor is probably the
funniest.
And to me, the best, I think Steve Martin, to me.
Yeah, that's...
He could do more with an audience than anything. And he could do anything he wanted with an audience. I've seen him do it, you know.
Because you know him from nothing. Like, you were there when he was...
He was open mic night, like me, like Cheech and I, yeah.
You know, somebody said something about Steve Martin, a review, that made me so jealous of the review because it was indirectly, I think it's sort of what I like to do. And they go, what's wrong?
I'm so hot.
Is it? wait, what was I just talking about?
Steve Martin review?
Oh, Steve Martin, the review basically said he acts like a comedian and the audience acts like they enjoy it, but they love it. And I go, that's what I love. Like, they got it. Like, he was going to act like, he was going to do this joke that was so ridiculous, and they were all going to act like it was the best thing in the world, and that was part of being part of it, really.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Yeah, the arrow through the head, like, you know, that's...
Well, he started out in melodrama at Knott's Berry Farm.
Mm-hmm. Is that
true?
He
did a melodrama theater at Knott's Berry Farm.
You know, I never knew that was Knott's Berry Farm. I thought it was Knott's Berry Farm. I didn't know it was Knott's. Berry Farm.
Did you know it was Don Knotts Berry Farm?
He owned it.
Come on.
You thought it was little berries that looked like Don Knotts?
No, I didn't put the name.
It was Knott's Berry, like the name Knott's Berry.
Thank you. Right, Knott's Berry. I didn't think Knott's Berry Farm. I just, like, Knott's Berry. Knott's Berry, like if it was one word.
Knott's Berries.
Slots of
berries. Good Knott's Berries.
Thank you.
Little tiny Don Knotts heads.
The only thing Steve Martin did, though, that he buried himself in a hole like Andrew Dice Clay did. You know,
with that character,
the character attacked him. You know,
yeah. There's no way
attacked and took him down. Right. And took him down. He became a rock star comedian. He was the only comedian that would. He'd have thousands of people outside of, you know, in Vegas. You know, doing wild and crazy guys. Can you imagine doing a bit and having it come back at you like that? You know, it was like
he must have tapped into some silliness that people were ready to. To wear on their sleeve, to have gotten that huge with that act. Because he didn't say anything social. There wasn't, like, you know, anything, like, any, like, incredibly well-crafted. It was just so silly.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me, though, Rory, and I think you'll agree with this.
In a smart way. I mean that as a...
Oh, yeah. Very cute.
Even though, because Rory likes to be silly, too, on stage. And then I hope this doesn't sound too... No, I mean, you're like, you like to go, yeah, see if I can get, like, sillier and let yourself go.
I prefer it.
I know overtly Steve Martin, I get what he did, but just now, for whatever the reason, I realized, yeah, he was that silly, and people fucking loved it. Of course they did, because not that many people will go as far as he went. It'd be the absurdity.
Yeah.
And he was doing that 40 years ago. So it reminds me when I'm being chicken shit at a club to fucking stop it.
Yeah.
Do it. You know, yeah. Stop holding back, you know, because you will find those people out there. But if they're going to want it, they're going to want it to be to the max.
But I mean,
does that make sense?
It's double enjoyment for everybody because the people that enjoy that kind of comedy anyways, they love it. But the people who aren't even that kind of into that comedy, they start to love it because they fucking appreciate the confidence with which you're saying it. And they're like, I don't. It's like when people like a comedian, but they didn't necessarily laugh at them. They're like, no, I found that person to be entertaining. I didn't laugh. But like, I think when you commit to something huge, if you're going to be over the top silly, people are going to love it. And other people that don't like it are going to
respect
it.
Should I quit comedy?
Yes.
I knew. You're dancing around.
Can I get to the point?
You
do it too much.
Too much.
It's not how far you're willing to go. It's how long you're willing to go that far.
Yeah. So. You know what? I'm going to take we're going to take a break.
Why?
Even by the fire. Because I was going to make some food.
Oh.
Oh, I like food.
Are you hungry?
I feel like even the break.
I can only eat certain things.
Grilled cheese sandwiches.
No, I can't do that. No, go ahead.
Are you vegan cheese? Vegan cheese?
No cheese.
Could you eat ice cream cake?
Nope.
Oh my god! How about peanuts?
Penis?
Peanuts.
Ah, no thanks. Not tonight. Not tonight.
What else? Well, what?
Can you?
And I have the other things I have. I have a soft serve machine. I would have to start it up. I haven't used it in a while.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You have a soft serve
machine? I have a soft serve truck. I bought an old soft serve truck.
And you've never once showed it to me.
What is that? What's a soft serve?
It's a soft serve truck. I'll pull it into my yard. I have salt, like Dairy Queen ice cream in a truck. And I just loaded it up with fresh vanilla ice cream.
Is this how you spend all your money?
This is what I've been saving for. I want you guys to be happy. So I bought a soft serve truck.
And now at our pod,
I remortgaged the house. I bought a soft serve truck. And
you're living outside. Being repossessed?
That's what I said would be funny. You tell people I just bought a lot, and you know what? I am. You know, they don't want to tell me your career's taking a major dive. So you go, I put every penny in the bank. You know what I did? I'm living on a piece of property I bought out there in Virginia. But you're really just living there in a tent. You have nothing.
You know what I'm going to do?
People come out, they admire you. They're like, "Fuck, man, how are you doing this?" You know what? Nothing matters. But they think you're doing ironically, not necessarily.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
I'm going to buy a shit ton of like really premium ice cream toppings and just put that in the truck and start to follow the ice cream man wherever he goes.
That's a good one.
So someone buys, it's like, hey, come on, step right up in. Now you got your ice cream. Come get your toppings. I got hot fudge. I got strawberry syrup. I got sprinkles. I got caramels. I got some chocolate chips. I got coconut shavings.
You just follow.
Who wants avocado? It's California.
So you follow. You just start. You see an ice cream truck. You pull right behind him,
and
then you just follow him. Everyone does come to you because he might have the soft serve, but he doesn't have all the toppings.
Yeah. That's why you get like the premium toppings.
You could have Lynn. Get your hot fudge over here. Get your hot fudge. I got strawberries. I got pineapple over here. I got Jimmies. I got new Jimmies, white Jimmies, chocolate Jimmies, strawberry Jimmies, strawberry fudge, hot fudge. I got marshmallow with chocolate pieces in it, chocolate Reese's cups, chopped up M&M's, and we also take a wonderful peppermint patty and melt it over a pile of vanilla ice cream. We got that. We got sprinkles. We have nuts. We got crushed walnuts. We got crushed pineapple, fresh pineapple, real homegrown fresh pineapple. A lot of different toppings all over the place. I got everything for you. I'll take a hot torch. I'll melt some marshmallow on there. I'll put some candy apple on top of it. Fresh blueberries. That's right. Right down there from Knott's Blueberry Farm. We get the fresh blueberries every day. You put it out there. We got fresh blueberries. You like cut up watermelon dipped in cinnamon sugar? Boom. You get a half of one for 99 cents all month. Come on down. We got all type. We don't have one thing. Ice cream, because we don't need it.
There's one truck that follows the toppings guy. It's just a guy who sells little cups of milk. I wash it all down with a nice glass of milk.
And the first guy's like, stop trailing me. What do you care?
I can't add all those things to my product.
And I travel behind with a wheelbarrow with hot towels. Hot towels! Wipe your chocolatey face off.
In a wheelbarrow, so it's super creepy.
Show. Bob Dylan?
Yeah. I played basketball with Bob.
He played basketball with Bob Dylan.
Come on, we all have that story.
Is there, is there a story there?
Yeah. Tell stories and I'll play background music.
Yeah, I'd like you to give us an Americana.
What's the story there?
Quiet, we're interviewing somebody.
We
I'm
lived,
the worst host in the world.
We lived close together out in Malibu.
Uh-huh.
And we had the same guy that built Dylan's house worked on my house and Cheech's house. And Dylan was a fan, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then he became a friend. And he played basketball in school, high school.
It's
so he
hard
came
to
over.
Picture Bob Dylan being, like, athletic and playing basketball.
No, he was a good jock. He was a good jock.
He was?
Yeah. And he came over. I had a hoop on my garage in Malibu. And we would play a one-on-one. And I had a sauna, too. And so we played, and Dylan came in for a layup, and I put him on his ass. Just big, big old foul, you know. And he bounced up pretty good. And then we all sat in the sauna, and so I got naked with Bob Dylan.
That should be your title of your book.
Yeah.
Naked cool guy. With Bob Dylan.
He seems so much younger, you know, when he's playing sports and that, you know.
Yeah.
Just he was a weird guy. He kind of changed in front of your eyes.
I wonder, like, how much of the weirdness that we witness as just an audience that he, I think, purposely puts out a lot of it out there. Like, how much of that is
Dylan
consciously made up?
No, he's a for real guy. He was the one that turned the Beatles on to pot. You know.
Really?
Yeah. When the Beatles came over for their tour, Dylan met him with a bag of weed, and
they were
bag of weed, a bag of weed.
They had no idea.
Weed. It's the bag only drug you'll weed. Ever need. Everything is better with a bag of weed. Two, three, four. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. It's the only drug you'll ever need. Okay, that's enough.
So they've never smoked pot before that point.
No. Dylan turned him on. Yeah, and Dylan's, you know that song Mr. Tambourine Man?
Sure.
He turned me on to acid. The song, he wrote about, he had a guy that played tambourine in his band.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, it was before they knew, it wasn't even called acid, it was called Try This.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's great.
He had no name. Hey, try this. And the stoners would take it and go, what does it do? And then you'd say, you'll find out. And then you'd stand, you know, be in front of a mirror for like 6 hours. So. But, no, Dylan is a very, very huge, you know, culture mm-hmm. mover, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, very huge. Everything he did, man. You know, even not being cornered into the minstrel.
Folks.
You know, they wanted him to be that guy. He said, fuck that, man. And he went
off.
Did
you ever see that Scorsese movie? Where
sure.
They have footage where people would buy tickets to just so they could go boo Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And it was there's a footage of the concert in London, and it's one of my favorite heckler comebacks probably ever, where he's playing an electric version of like a Rolling Stone, and somebody yells out, "You suck," and he goes, "I don't believe you." Which is so cool.
No, he was a great guy. You know what he used to do every year? I don't know if he still does it. But
that's
there's a gathering.
Uh-huh.
There's a gathering of gypsies in Marseille, France.
Uh-huh.
This is where the gypsies from all over Europe they gather, and Dylan used to attend that gathering every year. I don't know if he still does. He might.
He does the juggalos.
You know
every
that.
Year.
That
yeah, Dylan does the
in gathering
of the juggalos.
Hold on.
You know, in Hawaii with the jugglers.
You know what? That Bob Dylan line. That's one to stop and soak up because. Seriously, that's like what every... Look, anyone could use that line, I don't believe you. But especially, as I always say, especially somebody that's, you know, younger, that knows that, like, if somebody says that to them, just go, I don't believe you. I know, I think, I don't believe you. That's a great... I love that. That's a fucking line. Because that seems simple, but it really, at one point in your life, might be all you have to hold on to that's, you know, what you're being told isn't true to God. I don't believe you. You know, it might not be happening now, but I don't believe that's what I'm destined
for. I'm sure not a lot of people around him were telling him that was a good idea to go electric. I'm sure everybody that was making some...
Oh, his manager. His manager was dying.
Against it, right?
You know. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
But
yeah,
I loved his attitude. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because people already... most people are comfortable with what they already know.
Yeah.
And... Right. Of course they are. That's why the few that aren't are extraordinary. If everybody was extraordinary, it wouldn't be cool to be extraordinary. Right. So the odds that they all think you should stay, do what you're going to do, that's because you're not extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn to at least sometimes part of being extraordinary is not getting in someone's way that is.
Can I have some of what you're smoking?
What?
Are you that sounded like a good stoner rap, didn't it?
Yeah. I know. That right here.
But it was either, as it came out of my mouth, either that was really good or I just put a lot of bullshit together for no reason.
You're listening to I'm Extraordinary with Todd Glass.
Yeah, I am extraordinary. Like I don't believe you. I'm the dumb guy.
Also, I mean, in that clip, too.
In that clip, too, he delivers that line in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Also, it's not even, I mean, the fact that he's saying, I don't believe you, but he also is just so... mellow with the delivery
he says,
of it.
Fuck you. Like comes out and I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Well, look at the lyrics the guy wrote. I mean, all the songs he wrote.
Yeah.
What if you go, somebody yells out, you suck, and then you go, I don't believe you, and then somebody else goes, you suck. He goes, hey, you, I believe.
You might be right, sir.
You might be right. You, no way. But you
Positively,
sort of...
4th Street, that's probably the best breakup song ever written. Ever. Positively, 4th Street. Right, when he goes, you'll go your way, I'll go mine.
I guess.
You go your way, I'll go mine.
No, I don't do bad, Bob Dylan.
You started it.
I know, I wanted to see if any of you Nimrods would stop me.
No.
Sitting here having a great conversation, we're going to resort to, come on.
You're listening to Testing the Crowd with Todd Glass.
That's right. You know what I wish we could do? Get the computer, put a karaoke song up, and we'll do a campfire song.
Hey, let's do our best.
Would you,
why don't we just pick a song we all know that I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. Let's do our best Late Night with Delilah. Like, just have a nice little smooth, like,
yeah, but I don't know
you're listening
song.
To Delilah.
Lady Delilah.
No, I'm saying be the DJ Delilah at night when she has this little music and she's like, little Bobby just wanted to write a letter to Diane and say it's
you know, I got a letter
in 10
from
years.
Cheryl, who is missing her boyfriend who left her, and she just wants to say, come back. And I don't know. I couldn't think of anything. Because I didn't want to make... What happened is the bit went bad. I made like... I don't know. We'll talk later. I'm going to move the mic back to the vicinity of the fire. Whew, that fire is hot. I'm going to be honest. That ice cream... It wasn't... It didn't do it for me.
Can
the
I say
cake was not moist. And also... Now, in there is an apple pie. In the kitchen, an apple pie with... custard smeared all over the top of it.
Jordan says she knows what went wrong with the cake.
I know what went wrong with the cake.
No chicken sandwiches then.
Oh, come on, Jordan.
Yeah, you didn't have any chicken sandwiches then.
Jordan, stop it.
Okay.
You don't even sound like a...
I'm a monster.
I wouldn't want to marry you when you talk like that. That's embarrassing for Rory.
Sit back down.
It's embarrassing for Rory.
Oh, I'm a monster.
Rory, are you guys seeing a therapist about this?
No, she's fine.
She's fine. She's a lunatic. No offense.
How is she a lunatic? Because she's playful?
All right, maybe you're right. Maybe you look a gift like horse in the mouth.
Yeah, give me a kiss.
Gross. Oh, my God. What's going on over there?
That's how she kisses. I don't know.
Hey, let's play who has more Twitter followers.
Do you want to play a kiss? Really?
Yeah. Sure. I would want to do a song. Let's do a song. I like to do a song. I'm a full-grown adult. There's another adult here with a guitar. Let's do something.
Let's all pick a song we all know, sort of. You want to do a Bob Dylan song?
Well, I want to do a song I know.
Well, what song do you know? Happy Birthday?
We'll talk later. No. Okay.
Cut that part
out. No. I don't know. I thought if you got the computer, you could open it up and the words would come up. We don't have to play the music on the computer.
The karaoke computer.
Yeah. Well, you
have you ever met Bruce Springsteen?
Do you mind?
Never. No, yeah, I seen him. I met him once, very very briefly.
Do you mind?
But. Springsteen.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of like he doesn't smoke, right? He doesn't really party.
Pussy.
He's a very
he works out.
He's a very straight laced guy.
Yeah,
in the best way possible.
He's like a muscle head, you know. He works his arms a lot. You know?
Yeah.
He's Cheech wrote a song called Born, it took his Born in the USA, uh-huh. made it into Born in East LA.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was
really?
Born in East LA.
Oh, that was a good
song. And he had to chase Bruce down to get permission to use it. And it took.
Did he give it to him?
Yeah, he eventually did. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's nice.
But by the way, you don't think that. What are you laughing at? You don't. It's funny. Who just left?
Chris.
Oh, okay. You don't think that that's funny because the story could have been he didn't. So at the end of it, it's good to know he goes, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but he was a cool guy.
Daniel Kino asks Tommy Chan, "Who's he met?" Singer songwriter edition. When we come back.
Well, I knew you had a Bob Dylan story without knowing anything. But you know, I knew you
really?
Had a Bob Dylan story.
Daniel Kino lists through everybody he can think of and. Wants to know if Tommy met him.
Did you ever meet Lamb Chop and Sherry Lewis?
Just Lamb Chop.
Did you ever meet Elvis Presley?
No, I got a Christmas card from him, though.
No.
Yeah.
What did it say?
Just, hey, he was a big fan.
You still have it. That?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that was going to be a question I had for you. So you know how you go over people's houses and some people you see have done a really good job of framing pictures and keeping things? And sometimes I get a little motivated by that. I go, I got to start things that don't mean anything now are going to later. So
you know, I don't know.
Do you frame stuff?
I should have taken pictures with everybody I've known, you know, like Muhammad Ali and that, but I never.
But you weren't a big picture taker.
Elvis Presley's story, the day he died, I was walking over to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's house to get some weed.
Oh, my God.
That's like
Kareem
the
lived down the street.
Let's let that line breathe. That is amazing.
Kareem lived down the street.
He was a weed dealer.
You mean August 11th,
1977? He was the day he died. I heard about it, and Kareem called me up, and he says, I got some shit, come on down. And I was walking down the Stone Canyon, and thinking, man, Elvis Presley died. Whoa. And the weird thing was that Elvis's, Lisa Marie and my daughter Precious were friends at school. And Lisa Marie used to come over to our house and play with Precious. And so after Elvis died, I think the next day, Lisa was over at our house, and they had all the TV is all about Elvis, and Lisa and my daughter Precious were playing in the next room. And then she came out, and Elvis's picture's there, and I'm looking at the daughter's there, and there's Elvis. And she come out, and she just didn't even look at the TV, and just wanted, said something to Precious, you know, and they just went on with their game, like she did not connect that was her dad.
Oh wow! How old was she?
It had to be what? I don't know, 7,
just
8,
like last year.
No, 10, 11, 12, something like that.
Wow!
It was weird.
That joke really didn't work in that situation.
I know.
Because you'd have to not know when it was.
The only way it was worse is you pointing it out.
Well, I
you really
could
have let it breathe and let me have a bomb. But no, you had to stop the conversation.
Then people
and
what
point
do you,
out
what
that
do you think
I threw
people,
a fucking lump out there.
What do you think people think of me? If I don't point it out, they think, oh, I guess Todd doesn't know. That stuff just flies by.
You didn't hear Daniel just lump a call of shit out there.
Well, first of all, I didn't give you a hard time about it, but I just factually figured out why it didn't work.
No.
Because you have to not know when it was. We don't. Right. We weren't. It couldn't have been yesterday.
No.
But like, here's when it's funny. If I go, it was weird. I just had to borrow. Like, you know, I'm like, Mom, give me $5. Like, I need it for stuff.
It was yesterday.
And then you go, when did that happen? I go, oh, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
How are you guys able to get to this point off of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sense?
I know. It was
and Kareem, when he gave me the dope. He wouldn't answer
he
the
door.
He
skyhooked it to you.
He wouldn't.
The room.
No.
That's how I picture it.
No.
He what?
Not even that. Not even the skyhook. No. I rang his door, his gate. He had a big, ornate gate, beautiful gate. I rang the bell, and
Bob
then
Hope
this mailbox thing opened, and a hand, big old black hand, reached out to the weed and gave me the weed.
West Virginia.
Which one?
Rocky Mountain, Shenandoah River.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
The trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze.
Country road. Okay, turn it back on. Home. Is it back on?
To a place I belong. West Virginia. Mountain mama. Take me home. Country road.
So here's where we're at. Tommy left, and we're back in the house. Just to remind you what it's like, it is pitch dark. And we're all sitting around the dining room table. Sensitive is here with us, which was cool. He stopped by with his cousin. And we're going to go right in mid-sentence. For whatever reason, Daniel Kino does not realize that Sensitive was out by the fire pit. He didn't even see. He was sort of sitting behind a tree back there with his cousin. So he keeps asking me, when did Andrew get here? But I keep talking, when did Andrew get here? Finally, I'm like, how many times are you going to ask? I really like that music in the background. So anyway, that's where we're coming in. We're back in the house, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to bring you right in there. Here we go. Katie, fade right in. There you go.
How long has Sensitive been over here?
Well, can you continue? He got here about 20 minutes ago.
I'm sorry. I bring
what
up.
Are we? Are you a special
okay.
needs?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to make fun of you, and I think you'll appreciate this.
I'll appreciate it even if you're wrong, but I'm sure you
what
will
about,
be.
What about the fact, what about being honest and being in the moment?
I am.
Sensitive. I haven't seen
I'm overriding with it. I'm overriding it. I'm doing. You're right. I'm glad you did it, but I'm overriding it, and you can override me. What you're basically saying is, well, I was in the moment. It was worth it. You're right. It could have been. I didn't. Yeah. Obviously, I didn't think it was. That's why I kept plowing past it. Because I thought, all right, he acknowledged it. He'll be able to move on. And I kept doing my bit. You went, I can't believe how long Andrew's been here. And then I went, yeah, and I went on and on and on. I kept talking. And you went, when did Andrew get here? I was so because I saw Andrew outside. It's not, now here, don't get me wrong. It's not that I wasn't acknowledging Andrew, because I had already outside acknowledged him.
I thought you were kidding when you said that. I didn't see him outside. So when you said, oh, Sensitive,
you make up lies in your story so you don't end up looking crazy?
No, I thought you were kidding. I thought you were doing a bit. Like, oh, Andrew's here. Like, why the fuck would Andrew be here? He wasn't here all night. No. And then I look over and Andrew's here.
He's here.
Well,
is this a new...
Todd, can you know, we move on
you know
from
what
this?
We're gonna
I get it. Andrew's here.
You know, is Andrew here? When did he get here? No, when did Andrew get here? I'm not even joking around. When did Andrew get here? When did Andrew go? My name is Lynn Shore, and I write a song about Andrew. When did he get here?
When did Andrew get here? When did he show up?
When did Andrew get here? When did he show up?
Everybody, when did Andrew get here?
When did he show up? When did Andrew get here? When did he show up? When did Andrew get here? When did he show up? One day Andrew, as he was driving down the street, he pulled into the parking lot and he got out of his car and it was neat. He walked up to the front door and walked into the house. When everybody saw him, this is what they shouted out.
When did Andrew get here? When did he show up? When did Andrew get here? When did he show up?
Ah, oh, that was...
yes!
You're pulling it out, you motherfucker. Oh. Oh, you made it work.
You pulled it out.
Yeah. Listen, 1 year, you motherfuckers.
Todd, put the bottle
no,
down.
I'm gonna,
Todd, put it
I'm
down.
Gonna, I want to drink and cut
That's
my face.
Your fourth. No, don't put that beautiful
I'm going to drink and then break this bottle.
I'm
going
to drink and cut my face so I have good stories to tell.
Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Hooray!
Hooray!
get here? When did he show up? When did Andrew get here? When did he show up?
Huh? You know what? The songs that we all like are the ones that do this. Even though everyone sees it's coming, there's something funny about...
When did Andrew get here? When did he show up?
Okay. There we go. This is fun. Katie, you having a good time?
Yeah.
She looks like she's having a ball over there. Get her some get her some dry toast.
I'm going to throw up.
We went out the other night, and only Katie, she was so happy. You know what? If those who are happy win. So everyone had these pancakes and everything. She eat a dry toast. She goes,
no,
I love
had butter on.
Oh, you did? Can I tell you?
Yeah.
That changes a lot. Yes. I just thought you had dry, like, there's something about the butter on toast, but dry, I thought you were eating dry toast.
That's all I wanted was toast.
You know what? Butter, so you get the butter on there. You know what? I put a little cheese and ham and roast beef and make that motherfucker a sandwich. When did it bing 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 bing?
Do you have stuff on that list you want to do, finish up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. By the way, we're going to talk about this next week on the show.
About what?
You're not going anywhere, Daniel.
I know, but I want to make sure that
you're
happy.
Does it bother you that you have nowhere to go?
Why would you say that? It bothers me that that's the perception you have of me, that I would rather be doing something else than be here.
And how much of that is my fault?
1%.
No, it's a good question. I didn't think you were going to fold so easy. Anyway, I was about to ready to admit maybe it was me. So thanks a lot. Ooh, I just stood my ground there and I won.
Now
you got to change because I held out longer. That makes no sense at all. If it does, great. Okay, so anyway, I actually saw something that I want to... So at a party that I was at this weekend with a lot of Hollywood celebrities, I tell you.
Okay.
Somebody, we were talking about the Home Shoppers Network, and she goes, they always call in and go, we love your show. What show? It's not a show. What other shows do you like? Target? Like, that's not a show. With shows like that, what's alternative programming? What's alternative programming?
Like
Whole Foods?
Target.
Is that... Like, if that's a store on TV, you moron. You know why?
These are going to be shows in the future.
When did Andrew get here?
When did
he show? Can you
read
Affleck show?
Yeah, what do you like?
Yeah.
What do you like?
I like the Affleck show.
I want to make sure I know what he likes. Everybody should know what everybody else likes.
You're right.
We should all know something else. You know what? You want to hear something cheesy?
Go on.
Would you all go around the room? It's so cliche, but say one thing about yourself that makes yourself better than everybody else here. I just think it's a good... I wasn't going to go there, but that's a good, like, horrible game. Like, game should be something, a quality about yourself, maybe something no one knew. But you go around the room, say, why are you better than everybody else here? It doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means you're a little bit better. By the way, to George Carlin, I would never even fake play that game. I'd end up getting my feelings hurt.
I can tell you one thing that makes me better than everybody here.
What? The fact that you know that... What? We're all baffled. Nobody's guessing.
I'm not getting it. Wait, so...
No one's guessing.
Daniel, you're going to have to volunteer this information.
Oh, my God.
We don't know where we're going.
Why can't I have this much fun every week? No, I had fun normally, too. I get nervous.
I like that you spoke into the paper.
No. This is a looseness that I really like, man.
I speak two languages. Can anybody here match that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I can.
Well, go ahead.
I speak one language well.
Shut up.
Go ahead, Rory.
I speak three languages.
I know you do. I know you speak...
So let's leave it at that.
I speak every language except for one.
Is this an interrogation?
Since we all know that I do.
Tom vouched for me, that's my
co-signer. I see him. Lynn, how many languages can you speak?
Every language except for one.
What?
I don't know, name one.
Can you speak English?
Yeah.
No, European or whatever. I
can't. European,
yeah.
I can't play
no,
these
I don't
games.
Know European.
I can't play these games. I don't know places and states and, you know, direction.
And things.
I'm not good at any of this stuff. This is when I end up losing every time. This is the area I'm horrible at. You know what I mean? When you guys were talking out there before about this and this guy and that guy, I was like, oh.
Todd Glass, we only play the games I can win.
You think? Okay. So anyway, let's do this. You want to? Let's do it. Let's. Can you read one of the emails?
Want me to read it?
Yeah. Hey. Well, maybe this is. We'll do this. We'll call this.
Infectious fun.
Yeah, like Katie. Can you stop it and start another file?
What?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Because you don't really want this.
No, no, absolutely do. Okay. I was going to maybe separate it, but let's just do it. These are some emails, and you know what? Why not be positive, right? Right, guys?
Correct.
Yeah, I get a lot of nice emails, and don't think I'm singing all of them because I'm fucking not.
Positive is good. I fucking hate negative people.
Yeah. Wow.
Fuck. No one's going to give me a laugh on that. I hate negative people.
Yeah. Wait, honestly, I thought we were being nice by not making fun of you.
I thought that was a very funny thing, but maybe.
Well, it's just Daniel.
It's good. Stop.
It's good writing.
What? No, I'm not. I would not. I feel bad.
No, I don't want to be the guy who's like, "Hey, don't make fun of my bad jokes."
I feel bad that I should have helped you out with that one.
I think they were both good jokes.
Okay, so good is positive is good. And maybe we turn it into a little song here.
Infectious Fun. Okay. Infectious Fun by Daniel Kaufman.
And we can put reverb in this and post.
You know those people who are so funny and silly that you not only love to be around them, but being around them makes you funnier. Makes you funnier. Maybe you don't have any friends like that. Those people aren't easy to find. Those people aren't easy to find.
Those people aren't easy to find.
And even if you do, you might feel self-conscious and unable to join in the fun because you're too worried that they're judging you for not being as funny as them and thinking you're not cool enough to be hanging out with them. You realize that the worrying is only making things worse, but you can't help it because it went been crap.
Crap.
Let me do that one again. You realize that the worrying is only making things worse, but you can't help it, and they're gone. Crap.
Hold on,
crap.
I gotta interrupt this. What is this? Go a ahead. Good one or just?
It has 5 stars.
Yeah, but know, but now with the podcast, you can hang out with one of the
good
funny
stuff about the podcast.
Here it goes. But now with the podcast, you can hang out with one of the funniest guys around and his funny friends, and you can ride along with them with no pressure to keep up. You can just enjoy when it's over, and you might have a little of momentum of their playfulness and go on with your life a little bit funnier and a little more open to the kid in you. The kid in you.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Can I have a little background music? I've never felt so stupid, but I'm leaving this in because I interrupted. That was the nicest, sweetest compliment. And then I interrupted it. Where's the part where it says something nice about me? And then it did. It just took a little while to get there, and I should have been patient. So as soon as it said that, I felt stupid. Am I making sense?
Yes.
So
yes.
I feel
you were stupid.
Yeah, no, you don't have to say.
Nah, we all thought you were stupid.
Was basically saying that we're like fun to hang out with and he doesn't have to worry
add
about
to all this
obsessed.
A guy who's passionate about
like
being
it.
A decent human being who's not afraid to sometimes be serious or philosophical. I can't think of anything else that's so good for you and so much fun at the same time. It's like if spinach tasted like cookies. Like spinach tasted like cookies.
Spinach tasted like cookies. That's dumb. Let's go to another one. Read another review.
Yeah.
All right, move on.
No, you don't do that.
What was his name?
Let me say this.
Sorry, Daniel.
Hold on.
Just don't sing that.
Yeah, you don't sing that. By the way, I'm going to go back to nice. You might think I'm being a wuss, but that was sweet. That's
ever,
now. Let me something. I want to give as much time to something like that. That when somebody writes something negative, and I'll talk about it, and talk about it, and talk about it. So when somebody says that, you're like, yeah, that's exactly.
That was Daniel Kaufman.
That was Daniel Kaufman.
Daniel, may I recommend something? You take some spinach, you put it in the frying pan, right?
Thank you.
And you put a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of garlic,
nice. Yep.
Salt and pepper.
Nice.
You fry that up.
I think you're misunderstanding.
And then tell me how that tastes like
you're
a fucking cookie.
Fucker.
You try that. You're an idiot.
Just make a cookie.
You're a fucking idiot.
Guys, I really think I understand the joke, and I understand what you're doing, and I know we should. Hold on. But you got to understand, and I get it. Like, he's writing the sweetest thing, and you're saying mean things about him. But you have to understand, it's emails like
he's
that.
He's calling you stupid.
I just want you to know.
He's bullshitting you with being nice to say, you're so stupid, you think spinach tastes like cookies.
It's like if spinach tastes like cookies.
He thinks you're dumb for that reason.
Wait a second.
You don't read that?
We're in a bad play.
Okay, can
you didn't understand that in that letter, he thinks you're so dumb, you think spinach tastes like cookies, guys.
Guys, I just want to tell you that...
Burn.
We're going to take a break here. Oh, we have a psychic.
No.
A psychic came by. She can read. She can only
She. Oh, it's a she.
But believe me, this woman is 103 years old.
When is she coming? Is she here?
She's
on her way.
She just pulls up.
She's in the hospital.
All right.
And by the way, what was that guy's name again?
Daniel Kaufman.
Daniel Kaufman. By the way, Daniel, I was joking, obviously.
Of course you're joking. That's fine.
But seriously, though, you should fry up some spinach. It's fucking delicious.
Shut up.
Yeah, you can roast it.
Also, throw some bacon in there. Bacon bits.
Yeah, bacon.
A little bit of olive oil, garlic, bacon bits. Spinach. A
little pepper.
Put a lot in there because it will shrink.
It's
like
still
a
not
lot.
Good.
How about real bacon? Why is it going to be bacon?
Yeah, fuck spinach. Just cook out some bacon and have a good
day. Why not just get a pizza from somewhere?
Right.
Guys.
Guys. Just buy some cookies. Are you fucking with spinach if you like cookies so much?
Guys.
Daniel Kaufman.
I'm going to still say Daniel Kaufman. That was a nice thing. I don't even think we should read anymore. That's the 1 year anniversary. That's everything.
Daniel Kaufman's IP address is the same as yours.
Yeah. Why? I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you write that?
Yeah. Why would I ever do something like that?
Wait a minute. I just rearranged the name of the letters in Daniel Kaufman. It spells Todd Stephen Glass.
Maybe I did.
Todd.
Maybe I did.
Why would you do that?
I tell you what, because I'm tired of not getting any attention from you guys. Once in a while, it made me feel good if someone told me that my podcast was special.
Wait one moment, Todd. You made me start doing comedy.
I burnt the church down.
Wait, hold on, what?
I burnt the church down.
Where did that come from?
I want to start coming clean with my life.
Oh, we were just going to say...
I cut your grandmother's brakes.
What?
Yes.
What?
I cut your grandmother's brakes.
Before you didn't.
I poisoned her. She wouldn't shut up.
Did you get my mom pregnant?
Yes, only because we didn't want to have a baby out of wedlock.
Do we have to keep this
going? All right, hold on. We got to stop. Hold on. Here's what we got to do. The truth is...
Your podcast is great.
This podcast is the best... Here's a guy that doesn't know how to be emotional because he always compliments himself.
Yeah.
The truth is, guys... I mean, if I'm not going to say it on a night like tonight, then when am I going to say it? When am I going to have the courage to look you all in the eye... And just say what I think all day long.
Say it.
My podcast is the best because of me.
Stop.
What?
Todd, can you do that now for real without the exaggerations for the comedic purpose, right? Like, imagine you're a guy in the movie that's this much of an asshole. But say that for real now.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, like, act it out.
Do we need the music?
Act
I get
the
it.
Shit yeah. out of this.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely
okay.
need the music.
Bring it.
That music's horrible. Yeah. Whoever played it, I want fucked.
Just go back to the music.
Fucked?
Yeah, I want them fucked. That's their punishment.
Fucked. All right.
You know, guys, as much as I talk every, I think Rory knows what I mean. I talk for a living, obviously, but this is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
This is hard for me. This really is hard for me, but know that I mean it from my heart. Yeah. It's hard enough to look in your eyes, but I'm being genuine with you. To George Carlin, I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not easy for me to say it, but I don't want to be one of those people that just can't tell people shit and say good things. And I'm saying it. So here we go. It's not a big deal. It's just I don't want to keep it in.
Mm-hmm. Just say it.
This whole podcast is the best podcast because of me. I really just got to really hand it to myself, and I wanted you guys to be here to witness it when I handed it to myself.
Yo, I almost called you out because you did say to George Carlin, but then I thought, well, it's kind of true what you're saying.
No.
But this guy.
You know what? I do not want to break that trust. We've had one guy thought it was a break of the trust. It wasn't. It really was the Jonas Brothers. Yeah. One, I did make a mistake. You know what? You might think I'm pushing it here. Because eventually, it only helps me with the audience to have that.
This podcast is what it is because of you.
Okay, hold on. No. Shut up. Don't even talk about this. It's gross. Stop it. It makes me look like a fucking crazy mental patient. I'm defending saying George Carlin. Hold on. I'm defending, I got to get this out, to George Carlin because there was truth within that character. I looked at it as a character that was saying to George Carlin because in that bit, he really was saying that.
Okay.
No, in that bit, that guy, if that guy exists, to George Carlin, man.
So in real life, you don't believe that this podcast is what it is only because of you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I'm not going to say it like a fucking idiot. What do you think? You Nimrods are going to do this without me?
What is Nimrods?
You're a half-baked sit around all day and you have sex with your wife, Cheryl. I know her name's George.
Cheryl.
All right, let's
What?
No. Come on.
What is your
Jordan, name? Jordan, get out of here. Go back to the kitchen.
No.
Jordan. Where's the blanket we made for you? Maybe if we let her talk.
Oh, dragon. Come to the room, Mike.
Oh, dragon.
Okay, talk softly.
What?
Hi, Jordan.
Maybe she just needs a little attention. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm going to tell you something. I love chicken sandwiches, too.
Ooh, sandwiches!
You know what? When you say it, a lot of people get a little scared. I get just as excited as you. So you got another chicken sandwich fan right over here. It makes me laugh. I think you're funny. I get you.
I'm a dragon.
You certainly are. You know what? It's okay.
So how long have you and...
How long have you and Rory been dating?
Chicken?
What?
Chicken sandwiches.
How do you talk? Right, let's
chicken sandwiches?
Chicken sandwiches? Rory, stop it. Rory. Rory, come on. You're acting. Rory.
Jordan,
I meant.
Yes.
No, Rory. Jordan. No, I'm talking to Rory. Rory, stop her.
Jordan.
Rory, stop her.
Right. Your wife's chewing on the mic.
What do you want me to do?
Well,
you want to tell her to not?
I have a podcast.
She's having fun. Come here, give me a kiss, babe.
Ew, gross.
Oh, my God. Oh, you put your fingers like that. Movies, you'll see somebody like super thirsty, right? And they'll run up and they'll go,
yeah.
And then it's dripping down their face.
No one's that thirsty.
No one's ever been that thirsty.
Well,
Wait, what?
What are you saying? You listen to the Todd Glass Show? Yes. Am I crazy to think that I'm understanding you? I'm not. Do you listen to the Todd Glass Show? Do you listen to the Todd Glass Show? I hear you. I hear you, you little motherfucker.
I hear you.
Okay. I was trying to be nice, but that character is manipulating me if it's saying blowjob. And I'm going, okay, everything's good. No, it's not. No, it's not good. This mental patient is not mental. It's the cat.
Give it as a cat.
I believe as a cat. I think that whole bit is the cat's fucking with me.
Oh, the cat's the mental.
Listen, let me have a. Is there another review? That review. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say it again. I've said it before. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and then I'll say it before I say it again.
Say it more.
Can you say it one more time?
I say it again. That review. I'm not joking. That review is the type of review that makes me happy because if that means if you know, right? Eventually there'll be more people like that. I know there are. I sound like I'm dying. A lot of people. Should we read another review? No, let's get in bed. Here's what I think we should do. We should all blow up all the mattresses.
Yes.
And then do one last goodnight podcast where we're all laying in different mattresses.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And there
fuck
we go. Lynn, hold on. Let's do you. Would you
hey,
like to
Corey, come
fuck this podcast.
I feel like that's not the right way to go.
Can I do a little bit of the tonight was a lot of fun. All my friends came by. How about if I could sing like this? What if I convince myself I could sing like this? But you go, well, it's not really singing. But I go, yeah, it is.
Oh, like
can you get the horn? Can you get the horn? Is that possible? Can you someone get the horn for Lynn in my room? Is that okay? Yeah. So I go, I go around touring. I got a guitar player. We had so much fun. Technically, this is entertaining. There's somebody enjoys this.
Technically, it is.
Only Andrew couldn't go into a room and find a trumpet.
What's it look like?
What's it look like?
Looks like a couple of pennies.
Does it look like a watermelon with duck sauce on it?
Hold on. Wait, what? It's like a macaroni.
Touch. What does it look like?
Hold on, Paul. Can you pause it?
It's not in there.
Hey, but don't
have the
doozy
on it.
Yeah.
For real, but
I can't.
Yeah.
You
stupid idiot.
Where's my friend from Israel?
Friend from Israel, honestly, you should probably not go on. Your friend should come forward and
start this. Hold on, are we still recording?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, first of all, we're all saying, Andrew, only Andrew couldn't find a trumpet. Could you turn that air conditioner up a notch to turn it off?
Hey, turn it up
a notch. So I go, you know, it's fun. You think you're getting up to go in and going, Andrew, it's right there. So when I walk in there, there's no trumpet. So I turn to him, I go, those motherfuckers... I was the only one that believed in you, but I was the hardest on him. But I turned completely.
Where
are we all going? What's going on, everybody?
Well, this air mattress.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Is there one air mattress for all of us?
Okay, so let's take a break. We're live from Todd Glass's house, and we'll be back with bedtime with the Todd. Good faces. Crewy. Come on, guys. All right, we'll be back. Let's go blow up the air vent.
Hi. Well, guess what? That's where we're going to leave you for today. As you heard, we all started to get our beds ready. We had literally beds set up all over the living room and dining room. But for today, that's where we're going to leave you. Then Monday, we're going to have the rest of the night, which will be us all laying around in different beds, just talking to each other like when you're little. Somebody's yelling to one bed, then somebody else says something else. And then in the morning, we end up waking up the next day and having coffee. And that'll be the end of the episode. But for today, that's where we're going to leave you. Oh, I like that music in the background. So, there you go. Goodbye. I like that music.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.